Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Messages that I have ever approached, and I want to pray before we step into it, because it's a dangerous place to go. It really is. All right. So Father, I pray against offense. I pray against wounds, Lord. I pray for those wounds that are hanging out raw to be touched and hurt, Lord. That people would receive with grace, Lord. The message that comes not from Don Bolt, but from Your Word. And it comes from Your heart, Lord, from Your ways, from the things that were intended for us to have, to receive, Lord, to be blessed by. Lord, that in this heavy world that we live in, Lord, full of weights and burdens, Lord, that we could walk it with grace. We could walk it in peace with comfort that comes from You. And Lord, we pray this and just help me that I don't stumble over my own tongue trying to say these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'll tell you one of the reasons. I was called into a place where, you might remember the situation, Kaylee Poulton and all that. Well, her mom, at some point just decided I was her pastor. And that was a scary place to be. I considered it a privilege because I've been praying for her for a long time, and just through a set of circumstances, I would have thought, sure enough, would have gotten me checked off the list of people who could possibly be her pastor. She decided I was her pastor, and that's how it got to be. Well, about a year after they found Kaylee and, you know, we went through that whole thing, she says, "Oh, Pastor Don, I have a group that I'm a part of, and I'd like you to come and speak to us." I said, "Really, what is this group?" "Well, it's a group of parents who have lost children to violence." I'm going goosebumps remembering this. I said, oh. I says, "Are you sure?" She said, "Oh, yeah, no, really, really, please come. They would love for you to come and speak. They heard you at the memorial service." So I prepared for like about 3 weeks for that time, and when I got up, I said, "I'm afraid to talk to you." And they all looked at me like, "What?" I said, "You don't understand." I said, "Have you ever read the book of Job?" I said, "Job had seven friends. They came and sat Shiva with him for 7 days. They were silent. They didn't open their mouths. They didn't say anything. And then after 7 days, they opened their mouths and immediately got in trouble." I says, "I am really, really afraid to talk to suffering people about their suffering." I said, it got so bad that by the end of it, God said He was angry with the people who'd come to talk with Him because they hadn't spoken what was right concerning God like His servant Job had spoken. And actually asked Job to say, "Go ask Job if he'll pray for you. And if he prays for you, well, then I'll heal you." It's like, oh. I said, "I want you to understand, when it comes to talking about these things, this is not something where I'm thinking, oh, goody, I can't wait. It's like next year, oh, we're going to get to talk about it." No, there's some messages that are just fun for preachers to preach. Preaching to suffering people about suffering ain't one of them. Okay? So please understand something. I have heard more hurtful, damaging messages about suffering, and I don't want to preach another one. Okay? I'm not looking to add to the number of those things. But there are some things where if we don't speak to it, two things occur to me. One is that you can define this church as being about half made up of people who've been through really, really difficult circumstances, like really big trials in life. Loss of children, early death of loved ones. I mean, you know, sicknesses and crazy. I mean, you name it, man. It's like, you know, like that's, you know, if somebody comes in the door and says, "Well, you know, I've been looking for church, and I don't know, I just can't really find a place because, you know, I've been through this and nobody understands me." You go, "Oh, wait, hang on. Let's see, you, you know, here." You know, it's like, cause, I mean, literally, you know, we are like the spice cabinet, if you will, of God's kitchen when it comes to dealing with these things, because it's all here. It's all right here. And God has gotten us through it, and we're still here. Amen. We're still worshiping Jesus, okay? We're still looking to God and trusting Him and believing Him, all right? And so, you know, I want you to understand, it's like, in another sense, I feel privileged that if ever God called me to talk about this, I'd rather talk with you than almost anybody, okay? Because I know a couple of things, which is, one, it's not a closed subject. You don't have to hide what you're going through here. All right? It's not like, well, I put a pretty face on because I'm going to church. I mean, obviously, you're not out here just, laying it out all over the carpet and everything like that, but you don't have to hide, what you've been through or what you're going through. I mean, because, people find out sometimes, sometimes accidentally, in one case recently, I actually spilled somebody else's beans for them and not meaning to. But what happened was not negative. No, it was like people just came around and supported me, and said, let me pray with you. Let me share the experience I had with this and encourage you. And I mean, and it's like, so if ever I was going to preach this, this is the place. And then they'll put it on the podcast so I can offend people at a distance. So, anyways, but I want to say that at the core of this, because we're never going to get through the whole message, okay? It's like 2 pages long and tight, lots of scripture and everything, and every scripture is just full of stuff that we should really spend some time with. And so I know I'm not getting it through this message this morning. So I want to tell you, start at the end from the beginning, all right? Because, if we're not going to get to the last scripture. And so I want you to understand that when it comes to this whole thing with burdens, so much of it comes back down to this, which is get your eyes on Jesus, all right? I mean, because that's what it's about. We're not going to get through the tough stuff of life, okay, if we focus on the problem. We aren't going to get through the tough stuff of life if we focus on ourselves. We aren't going to get through these things if we focus on our history. Jesus and our hope for the future, that's what pulls you through this. Okay? First of all, I have this promise of everlasting life. That when this life is over and all the messes are left behind, okay? It's good you don't get to take a U-Haul to heaven with you because you take your problems with you. All right? So that I got this eternity with Him. It's been a while since I heard the word used in common culture seriously, but bliss. This is how it's described. An existence without cares and fears and pains, without sickness, without death. I have that as my eternal hope. I have a hope in this life as well. And that's this, that I don't care what it is that I've ever been through. If I have sought Him, God was there. There have been times when I've lost track of God in the midst of junk. And I'm not going to, Don, you were saying about you're not the pure. Please understand how I pray for myself every time I step into this place, because it's like, I know. Last week was living evidence to me of how capable I am of making mistakes, okay? I just make them left and right, all right? And so, but here's what it is that, I've got this hope in this life that, if I will seek the Lord in any situation that I'm in, He's there. He does not have to arrive. He's there. Okay? Now, if he needs an angel to help out with something, they'll have to come. All right? We know that from Daniel. All right? Sometimes they have a little hard journey because they got to deal with stuff. But God is with us. God is here. God doesn't have to take a long journey to get to us. All right? So that's the end from the beginning. So you can go home. You don't even have to listen to the sermon. No, I would suggest you listen to the message, okay? Because we got about 10 minutes and then we're going to get around the Lord's table together. But, there's a lot. This is a weighty world. I'm going to the scrapyard and finding out what stuff. Aluminum don't weigh much of nothing, And brass and copper, they're heavy. Steel's heavy, iron's heavy, But this world is filled with weights. It's filled with things that are heavy, and I'm not talking about scrap metal. Well, sometimes the scrap of our lives, but nonetheless, it's this stuff. And about the time you think, I can just kind of sit back, sip the lemonade, and be okay. And then all of a sudden the phone rings or something happens, and all of a sudden you got another thing to deal with, right? Because that's the definition of this world. Okay, it's like that. But now if I get overwhelmed with that, it gets awfully hard living in this world. If that's all I got is the weights and burdens, or if that's all I have, and it's that thing I used to do with kids when I was teaching them about Jesus and sin. And I would take a little 3x5 card, I'd write Jesus on one side of it, and I'd write sin on the other side of it. And I'd say, okay, I want you to take this 3x5 card that says sin. I want you to put it right in the end of your nose. I says, okay, what can you see? All I can see is sin. I says, okay, flip the card over. It says, okay, what can you see? All I can see is Jesus. Okay, now, take that thing that says Jesus, pull it as far away as your arm can get. I says, what's the problem? I see everything else, and Jesus seems small. I says, okay. I says, are you learning anything? This is what I would do when I was teaching kids, and I'll use it to teach you as well. that, you know, that is it. But burdens. You know, we got burdens of sin. There's burdens that happen because we're doing the wrong thing. God said don't do it. We did it anyways, and now we got trouble. Yeah, there's burdens like that in life, isn't it? All right, and we sing about it. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, right? You know, because it's even the ones we caused ourselves. Well, they got themselves into it. They can get themselves out of it. I'm so glad God doesn't think like us. You know, we got ourselves in it. We have no idea how to get ourselves out. But God knows. And so God provides. You know, so this burden of sin, God has an answer. It's the blood of Jesus. All right? But then you have hindrances. Now, hindrances fall into two categories. Some hindrances are hindrances just because the world is full of hindrances. Some hindrances are hindrances because there's things we hang on to that we shouldn't. Okay? I mean, okay. If I've got a way that I don't want to give up, I just, some way that I deal with things and I just don't want to give it up. Or if it's too hard to give up. Well, hey, I'm Irish, so I should be that way. Or, you know, I mean, I'm not as Irish as I thought I was, so my excuse is gone now. But anyways, so now I can blame the Scandinavians or something. I don't know. But it's just, you know, that's I found I'm more Scandinavian than I thought I was. But, you know, but there's hindrances. You know, these things that sometimes we invent hindrances to give ourselves an excuse to fail. I just thought of that. I started realizing it's true, isn't it? Sometimes don't we, you know, kind of cooks things, you know, that it's something we can blame for the failure because we feel like we're going to fail. And, you know, it's like, you know, and so I got to have some good excuse to hang it on. You know, but hindrances. You know, some hindrances, like I say, are just because the world's full of hindrances. You know, I mean, you're trying to get a nice job, you know, and there's like competition. And I don't know how to tell you this, but sometimes your competition lies. That's a hindrance, right? They're lying and I can't lie. I got to tell the truth. Wait a minute, in the end, that's not a hindrance for me, but it's a hindrance that wait a minute, that they're going to, you know, David talked about this. He said, I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, I almost slipped. You know, I've been washing my hands in innocence all along, and he says, and look at the life they're living, you know, and they're doing everything wrong. So wait a minute, sometimes it can appear as though doing the right thing can be a hindrance. It's not a hindrance, but it looks like one. Cares. Oh my, the cares is such a big category of burdens that the Bible spends a fair amount of time talking about. You know, some things it tells us take care. Here's how you take care of it. Cares is just cast them on God. You know, because I don't know that we're very good at taking care of our own cares. Cares, you know, that thing I'm worrying about, that thing I'm fussing about, that thing I sure enough is not going to go right. You know, and you ever watch, you know, this thing with the Olympic athletes? They imagine themselves doing it right, you know, it helps them do it right. And here we are, imagine ourselves doing everything wrong and having everything completely fall apart. And it's like, wondering why we're struggling. You know, but this thing about cares, you know, temptations. Everybody's tempted, folks. You know, your temptation might not be my temptation. We're all tempted, right? And it's a burden, you know. I remember I quit smoking many, many years ago. And anyways, many years ago. And anyways, and of course, you know, I got a new job. What was next door to the new job? Tobacco shop, thank you. Ding, 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 you know, that's, you know, ring up 100 points for that one. Yeah, tobacco shop right next door, you know. I mean, I'm at work and I can smell the smell of the tobacco wafting over to me, you know. Temptations, requirements. You know, one of the things that in the New Testament you hear them really talking a lot about is how the Judaizers, there was a belief system out there that was mistaken. And it said, if you're a Gentile and you want to follow Jesus, got to become a Jew first. Okay? Then after you become a Jew, then you can become a Christian. Very controversial, this thing that Paul was talking about, even Peter was talking about, that perhaps the Gentiles could come in just on God's grace. How about that? Sort of better being a Gentile in that case, you know what I mean? So anyways, they said, why lay these requirements on them? Okay, it's a hindrance, all right, to them. It's a hindrance to them coming in. It's a hindrance in them walking. You know, why put a yoke on them that neither we nor our fathers could bear? All right, this idea of the yoke of requirements. You know, and that's where sometimes we imagine requirements. We imagine expectations people have of us. Sometimes people have expectations and deny them, though that's the other half of that one. You know, they say, well, you don't have to do that. Hey, I never told you had to do that. And it's, yeah, you did. You didn't say it in words, but man, you made it real clear what your expectations were. Responsibilities. I remember one time I was passed over for a promotion, and I felt bad, you know, because I'd really been kind of aiming for it, you know. And the Lord put a word in my heart, and He says, you know, sometimes promotion can be like a boat anchor. You know, it holds you down in a place that maybe that's not where I was trying to keep you, you know. And I said, well, and that's true. And it worked out that way, and I saw what He was talking about. Troubles, you know. I mean, sometimes you get a bad neighbor, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get a phone call in the car and you grab it and you don't realize there's a police officer right next to you, you know? And he pulls you over. Yeah, I can't imagine that ever happening. Yeah, oh. So anyways, yeah, praise God for the ones that say, yeah, I can see you learned your lesson, go in peace, you know? But, my heart just sunk right into my stomach. Troubles, you know? Struggles! Struggles. You know, nobody gets through this world without struggles. You know? I'm giving you the opportunity to have a meeting like I have sometimes. Like, I get together with the other pastors from Henrietta, and sometimes, like, something has gone on where, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, and I'm thinking, man, it's me, and stuff like that. You get together, we're all going through the same thing. And it's like, I get it. So whatever's going on in the atmosphere of heavenlies, whatever's going on in the spirit, it's going on all over town. All right, okay. So it's a little less personal, perhaps. But struggles. You know, just things that you got to do, but they aren't easy. You know, we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, the principalities and powers, go over to Colossians, take a peek. Jesus created them for Himself. They're in rebellion. And we have to wrestle with them. Trials. Trials come in two categories, temptations and just trials. You know, difficult things we got to do. You know, you go into high school and you're thinking, man, oh man, you know, it's like, hey, trust me, you're just learning stuff that you're going to need for the next season in life. You know, and then you're doing this thing here and wonder, why do I have to go through all this hard-to-do stuff? And it's like, and then you realize, you know, God was preparing you for the next thing. And you walk in, you feel prepared. I grew up in a home, and I describe it as Germanic because it was. But it was just, I mean, everything had to be a certain way, you know, and real tough leadership, and boy, just the expectations were real high. That was hard. That was a trial. Okay, that was, as I've seen some smiles from people went through the same thing, you know. But it's like, but then I stepped into the work world, and, you know, almost any boss I ever had was just like, hey, you know, I've done this before, you know, and it was my eyes closed, you know. So, but trials, but not tribulations. See, tribulations are an interesting one because if you live godly, you're likely to go through more than if you just decided to be a schmo. You know, it's true. You know, tribulations. In this, you're going to have tribulations, but you know what? God, Jesus said, you know, but I've overcome this world. You know, so understand, keeping your eyes on me, that's what's going to help you with all this stuff. We haven't even gotten out of the first thing here, haven't we? Griefs. You know, those disappointments, those things where something happened, painful, awful, and the memory of it plagues you. Now, I remember one that was just, we had this German shepherd named Gretchen. And for some odd reason, every time we get a dog and name it, we get a friend by the same name within a short time. So anyways, so we had this cool dog, Gretchen. Gretchen's a great dog. You know, just love Gretchen. Anyways, and we went out for a walk together, and Sarah was in the backpack, to give you an idea how long ago this was, all right? She's in the backpack, and I'm riding on the bike, and dogs run alongside of us. Some bees come down out of a tree, start buzzing around her head, so I'm wagging these bees away, and the dog just keeps going right into an intersection, gets hit by a car right in front of me. Yeah, I see. You there? You know, share my stuff with you, and then you don't need to worry about your own, right? So, I relived that moment, because I had to drive, that was the road I drove on to go to work every day. And I had to go past that intersection every day on the way to work. And every time I go... And I mean, and I knew, I said, Lord, I got to get past this. I got to get past this thing. You know, this is too painful for me. I can't just keep going through this. But griefs are like that, you know. You know, sometimes you have this way of revisiting them and experiencing the pain over and over again. God wants to set you free from that. You know, there's some of these are ones where God wants to take you through them. Some of them are ones where God wants to set you free from them, right? Some of them are necessary. Some of them are unnecessary. We're going to talk about that. Griefs and sorrows. And burdensome people. Sure glad I'm not burdensome. Most of the time, anyway. But you know, that was prayer Jabez. You know, he didn't want to cause anybody any pain. He says, please set me free from that. And some more praying of that got to go on, you know, because we got burdensome people, you know, for various reasons. Sometimes just because they're very, very needy. That's not necessarily evil. You know, maybe they actually do have those needs, and maybe God put us in their path to help them. That may be the doorway into witness. But then there are people that, after you met their needs, they just come up with new ones. You know, and they become burdensome after a while. But that's all the weights of this world. And so we're going to spend some time over the next little while. Like, we didn't even get out of the first sentence here, you know, because I'm trying to walk, not carefully, like worried, fearful. I try to put that aside, but just try to be gentle. You know, I'm reminded that Jesus said, you know, smoking flax he wouldn't quench. And that's how I want to preach this a bit, you know. I want you to get the power of God, but not through the clumsy feet of me. Okay? And so, you know, it is this group of people that are weighed down and heavy laden that Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, you who are laboring and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. You know, lay down the yoke of requirements that you've been living under. Lay it down. This is laying down my second song for the joy of the Lord. And it's like that was a painful song for me when Peter first died. You know, it's like, wouldn't I just love to have laid down his sickness? You know, wouldn't I have just liked to just lay down my pains? You know, and it was like, and that hurt, that song, you know. But I mean, you know what? It's an important song to sing, though. Because, you know, because you have to understand, that isn't where you're going to live for the rest of your life. You know, you got to get up and say, you know something? God, you know, I understand. You are willing to carry this. And you're asking me to stop carrying it myself, let you carry it. And for me to have a time of comfort and peace and even rejoicing in you, not the circumstances don't call for rejoicing, but you do. And Lord, I in the midst of this, I want to learn how to live in you. Amen. All right, okay, good. I'm looking, just making sure. I don't see anybody going. Okay, all right, because you know some. This series of messages, I'm convinced, will get us somewhere where ministry out of your life is going to be life-changing, not only for you, but for a lot of people that you intersect with. Because there is a battle going on around us. There is an invisible war. All right? And God is raising us up to be soldiers in that war. He's raising us up to be victors in that war. And but this, I think, is where we start.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.